A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Why are you troubled? Why do questions arise in your heart? And the next thing I expect Jesus to say is, "Trust the process." It's one of those things that when Jesus asks these questions to the disciples today, I immediately sense that there's a lack of trust on the part of the disciples, right? This phrase, "trust the process," is something that is found mostly in the athletic world. It can be found in a leadership setting, an office setting, you name it. But if we don't trust the person saying it, then how can we trust the process that follows, right? For an athlete, it takes play after play, practice after practice, game time decision after game time decision, ultimately probably a conversation and a relationship between the coach and the player for that trust to actually form, right? You can know all the plays in the playbook. You can know all of these things. But when it comes down to making them happen in a difficult situation, it comes down to a decision of trust to actually execute the play, even if you don't know or think that it's the right one to make. And now, not being an athlete myself, I'm a little unfamiliar with that. But I can say as a chaplain, I've had a somewhat similar experience, because in my time here, of the conversations that I've had, whether with Catholics or non-Catholics, what I've realized is that the ones that have the greatest effect in the students' lives are the ones who I've gotten to know long before they step in to talk about the deepest needs of their life. Right? This trust preempts a willingness to trust the process that is much needed within their life. But so often today, I'm afraid that for Catholics and non-Catholics alike, we get locked into this process. We get ahead of ourselves and simply trust the process without trusting the one behind it. And this process could be a number of things, but most commonly it's expressed in a desire to understand the scriptures. It's expressed in a way to maybe understand or be able to even explain theological truths to other people. But what good is that if we don't actually know and trust the very source of it all himself? Jesus Christ. As St. John bluntly puts it in our second reading today, he says that if we claim to know him, but that relationship is not reflected in the way that we live, then we're a liar. And those can be pretty harsh words, and I don't think anyone in here wants to be a liar, right? But the fact is, when it comes down to it, all of us, myself included, need this conversion in our lives. For ignorance of Christ leads us to reject Christ, as St. Peter said in our first reading today. So all of us have this need then to be converted, because if we reject Christ, whether in small or big ways, then we really don't trust him. And the process then of this conversion begins, as was reflected in the gospel today. Because there's these disciples who, just a few passages before in Luke's gospel, were on their way to Emmaus. Jesus appeared to him. He revealed to them the scriptures and what all the scriptures meant. He reveals himself to them in the Eucharist. They said, "Were not our hearts burning?" They had this powerful experience of Christ, but then the fire quickly goes out. Because as we heard today in the gospel, just a few hours later, it said they were terrified at his presence. It's as if they had forgotten about him. That this one big experience just wasn't enough. So that's why Jesus asked them then today, he says, "Why are your hearts troubled? Why do questions arise in your heart?" But instead of scolding them for not trusting in him, instead of rebuking them as though somehow they weren't good enough, what does Christ do? But he does the same thing that he desires to do with you and me on a continual basis. He spends time with them. He reveals to them his whole life story, right? Through his very love for them, through his very wounds that he suffered on the cross. He shares this time with them, and then he even asks to eat with them. Christ desires to come in just that personal way. And it's after this, and only after this gesture of friendship, Luke tells us, that then he opens their minds to understand the scriptures. For each and every one of us, my brothers and sisters, we have to acknowledge the ways that God desires for us to move from the head to the heart, a distance, mind you, much greater than the 7 miles from Emmaus to Jerusalem. The Lord wants us to make that travel, make that distance, because it's not about simply the what to do's and what not to do's. It's something much more profound. It's about, first and foremost, our relationship with him. And this friendship can form in a way, not just like a class that we attend or get a passing grade in. No, actually in a much more natural occurrence. If we open our minds to him, if we open our hearts to the Lord, as those disciples did on the road to Emmaus, whether if we're out of school, on our way to work, students on your way to class, opening up to the voice of God, allowing him to walk with you on your way to class, whether from your house to class or class to class, whatever it may be, allowing the Lord to speak into your actual experience and taking time in silence to give space for him to ask you similar questions. But it could also be our interaction with a stranger. It could be our interaction with our friends. Think about it. When we start sharing and are open to listening to other people talking about their experience of Christ, it can have powerful impact. Something that I've experienced in a way this year that I didn't last year in our men's and women's groups. When we begin sharing that, as Scripture tells us, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And this trust gained through time spent with Christ is necessary before we are to become any kind of Scripture scholar or before we are to become any kind of theologian. And that prerequisite is the same for Mass. Because if we don't have a relationship with Christ, then we can be just like those disciples in the Gospel today, who come and they hear scriptures, they come and they see the Eucharist, but then they're still scared and terrified of Christ. If we don't have a love for Christ at a personal level, then when we come to Mass, we're just watching the plays happen in front of us. And we're missing out on allowing the love of Christ that comes to perfect us and trust of him, and that comes to show us that process of being saved. So may we open our hearts to a relationship with him, trust Christ through an ongoing friendship with him. And it is then that we'll begin to see the process taking shape in our lives. For St. John tells us in the second reading today, when we keep his word, when we keep our relationship with him, it is then that the love of Christ will truly be perfected in us.